Hey there, guys. My name's Jimmy. I'm a Christian singer, songwriter, dancer. And I'm here on Us People Podcast with Savio Rocks. Savio Rocks, baby. Come on.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Us People Podcast. I'm your host, Savio Rocks, and today, well look, he's smiling there actually. Before I even introduce him, he's sitting there so peacefully but smiling. I love it. I have Jumi here with me, who is a Christian R&B trap singer-songwriter, and he's actually the first Christian R&B trap singer-songwriter I have ever interviewed. He's breaking it down.
Come on, get it.
He's breaking it down. He's giving me the energy. I love it. Jumi, thank you so much for coming on the Us People Podcast. I don't even need to ask how are you, because I know you're okay, but I'm going to ask.
I'm good. No, thank you for having me. Like, I'm so appreciative of you and this podcast. Come on, Us People.
I love it. I love the energy you're bringing to the podcast. It's really nice. It's really, really nice. He's there wrapped up in his blanket, guys. I should have had mine. You know, sometimes guests come in their onesies. Sometimes they come, in the pajamas. I don't mind. But Jumi's come with his blanket. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, like this thick blanket. You know, like, I'm one of those people that I don't feel like I'm sleeping or comfortable until I'm wrapped.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Summer, even if it's like something really thin, like, I've got to be wrapped.
Yeah. Like. I think a blanket is a form of comfort. Yeah, it's a form of comfort, and you feel shielded. That's why in horror movies people always go under the blanket for some reason. I don't know why. I've always noticed that.
it's either
that or the cupboard, and I don't even like horror movies, so.
It's true. They're all under the bed.
That's a cliche, because how are you going to get out? But anyway, that's a whole nother subject. Jumi, thank you so much for taking your time to come on the Us People Podcast. I'm so glad to have you. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you also to Jukebox.
Yes,
Duke. Put this together. I love you, Duke, wherever you are listening.
So I'm going to get into my first question, which I absolutely love asking every single guest that comes on the show. It's like a repeated sentence I say every time I do that question. But for me, I think it's a very important question. So Jumi, my question to you is, could you tell me about your background, of where you grew up, where you come from, your culture, but also how that influenced you to be the person who you are today?
Wow, that is a loaded question. Like, where am I from? So I'm from South London originally. I was born, bred, buttered, raised, scraped, jam, spread, all of the above in Kennington.
Oh, Kennington, yeah.
Yeah, Kennington, but a lot of people don't know Kennington, so I normally just say Brixton, because when you say Brixton, everybody knows Brixton. So, but Kennington's actually where SE11, that's me. And I'm living now in Hertfordshire. Like, I got out the ghetto. I made it out the ghetto. So I'm in bougie Hertfordshire, you know, like changing my life and everything, and I'm bougie, you know, moving my shoulders like this. No, but I still remember where I come from. And that has a big part to play in everything. Culturally or originally speaking, I'm also from Nigeria. Hey, my Niger people, y'all listening. from Nigeria. I was born in the UK, but my heritage is Nigerian. I say I'm a British-born Nigerian.
Yes.
And I have to clarify that, because growing up, it was actually so confusing. Like, because then you'd be at school and people say, oh, where are you from? And I'd be like, I'm from London. And then they'd look at you like, yeah, okay, but where are you really from? And I'm like, Kennington. And they're like, okay, where are your parents from? And I'll be like, oh, Nigeria. They'll be like, oh. And then I speak to Nigerians, and they were like, where are you from? Because people, apparently I don't look Nigerian or whatever. Apparently I look West Indian or American or something.
That is true, actually.
Oh, dear. But I've gotten this all the time. And then Nigerians would be like, where are you from? And I'm like, I'm from Nigeria. They're like, no.
No.
No, that's to my face. They're like, no, you ain't one of us. I'm like, I am. They're like, no, you're English. So when you go to Nigeria, or when I go to Nigeria, they're like, Oyinbo, which means white boy, Englishman. And I like when I've got some friends who are Jamaican. They say when they go back, people call them foreign.
Yes, that's it. Mm-hmm. So true. Yeah.
Foreign or Englishman. You know, they put the H in front of English.
Everything.
English.
Their alphabet is completely different to ours. It's completely... Everything is upside down or English, hungry. I don't know what they do, but they do it in their way that makes me laugh every time. When I go to St. Lucia, it's English girl or... It's yeah, it makes me laugh. I crack up at it.
Yeah.
But it's nice. It's really, really nice at the same time because you're like, okay, I know I stand out.
Yes.
You guys don't need to take the mick out of me. I know I stand out. It's pretty cool.
I mean, but yeah, so growing up, that was a little bit confusing just because I didn't know how to identify myself. Okay. So, yeah, so I just said, hey, I'm a British-born Nigerian. And when I say that, everyone is quiet. The English people that are different to me, that look a bit different, they quiet. The Nigerians who don't accept me, they quiet too.
But how has it been for you as you've been growing up? Obviously, you've come out of Brixton now. You've gone to a completely different area.
Oh, it's been hard. Like, in a good way. Hard in terms of it's like a welcome challenge. Like, I just wanted a different environment. You know, the world started changing, obviously, from last year.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Like, I've been talking about changing my life. I'm going to change it now. So, you know, I just hopped out. And I'm surrounded by loads of trees and I don't know what to do with any of them. I'm like, why is there a field outside my house? Why can I see a field? Why is there a field in this area? But it's so different. It's so different. I mean, you got squirrels running around happy, you know, like... it's just, there's a cat that lives around here, right? This cat is braver than brave. You know when they say badder than bad?
Yes.
This cat, you'll find this cat on top of your car at night. Yes, this cat, this one, I don't know what kind of cat, it's kind of brown, it's a brown stripes. It's probably like a mini tiger. It just sits on people's cars. I woke up and I came in the morning and there's a cat on my car and I was like, oh, is this how we roll in Hertfordshire, yeah? They're brave like that.
Wow. Maybe it's warm there as well. Maybe it's, you know, it's warm. Either the engine they go underneath or on the top. Oh. It's warm.
Oh, yeah, it might be that. I never thought of it like that. But he's brave because try to do that in Kennington, the way that cow will get slapped.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, yeah. In West London as well. Try that. And
Oh, you're from West London, Hammersmith. Yeah.
I am near Westbourne Park, near Notting Hill Gate, in between the two.
Yeah.
Which is actually quite
nice.
Yeah, well, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's okay. If I see a lot of people on the road looking for me, I know why now.
Yo, Savia!
I'll be like, huh? No, wrong person. No, wrong person. Okay. So... Jimmy,
yes.
I have read up a lot about you. It's not bad. Why you say uh-oh again? Me and Jimmy had a conversation earlier on today, guys. And by the time this comes out, it would be a long time ago, but it'll be a little while ago. But me and Jimmy had a really nice conversation. He called me just to connect with me, which I always find really nice when a guest before the interview actually calls me, reaches out to me and says, we have an interview tonight. And he came on so energetic. You came on so energetic. Hey, Savia! I was like, hey. Hey, how's it going? Okay. And when I said to you that I've done so much research about you, you said, uh-oh. And then you also said something that made me realize what type of person you are too. And I said, you've been through so much and you weren't concerned about yourself. You were concerned that, yeah, but so has everybody else. Meaning that you care more about people and what they're going through rather than what you've gone through. But I want the light to shine on you for this hour, okay? He's like, oh, that's going to be hard. Yeah, but so I know your journey in music has been a transformation for you in your life. And if you are only happy to talk about it, I would love for you to share the reason why it's been a transition for you in what you've been through. So could you tell me a bit about why music has helped you in your life, but also what you have been through to influence music into your life?
Great question. So, I mean, there's loads of like avenues with that. The one I will start off with, because we'll probably just go. For me, it's my biggest journey or my biggest thing has been the inward journey. Even now, I'm still on one. I'm actually on, right now, I'm on one of the biggest and hardest journeys because I'm reading a book by James Allen called As a Man Thinketh. Yes, this is my third time reading it. I'm on a course where you have to read it every single day for 15 days.
Wow.
Yeah, the whole text. So, I mean, but this is like a paraphrased version. So I think it's 37 pages, but you read it every single day. And you'd be surprised, you learn something different each day.
Yes.
And you apply something different each day. And I've been doing that. And with my journey, my journey, I mean, everyone's gone through stuff. But for me, it's really about like battling depression. Battling my own thoughts, which came from being as a child. You know, I'm not a single child, but I grew up as a single child. So I didn't discover like my siblings and all of that stuff till later on in life. And so then, and coming from a home which, you know, you're surrounded by mental instability.
Yes.
Caused by different things. As a child surrounded by that, things are spoken to you and you're taking it in. And as a child, you don't know that what's being spoken to you is a result of their hurt and their pain. And you're not able to make that differentiation. So you just grow up absorbing every word that this household is saying to you. Yeah. And that does something to you. It does something to your self-esteem, does something to your self-worth. It was extremely low up until about 2 years ago. I'd say my life really took a real change from the beginning of 2019. I've had suicide attempts, my first being in secondary school. I remember in primary school, I just wanted to die. And that sounds very morbid, but that's how I really felt. It just felt easier to just leave. And I remember even up till now, when I'm starting to feel, sometimes you have moods, you know, when I'm feeling low, I notice that sometimes it starts off with a question, like, and I used to ask myself this question, like as a kid, who would notice if I left? And I'd always be like, no one would care. No one would even blink. And I remember I wrote a suicide note in primary school. I didn't do anything though. I didn't really have the knowledge, thank God. I thank God now. I didn't before. I was like, you stopped me. In secondary school, that's when, yeah, I was a bit more determined, should I say. And then also like just around uni time as well. That was my second attempt. So it's only been two attempts, but I've battled with suicidal thoughts every year. And it was only until 2019 was my first year ever, like not having suicidal thoughts for the whole year. And I realized that it was around Christmas. Christmas is such a difficult time. It's such a difficult time. And amidst all the celebrations and, you know, there's a whole bunch of people who are in pain, y'all. And that was me. Like, not really in touch with my family. Stuff happened. Not really seen them. Don't know where some of them are. It's been so long. I've forgotten what it's like to have a family. Yeah. So, you know, yeah, you get what I'm saying. So, yeah, you just kind of get used to it. But even before that, even when I was really in touch with people and stuff, like, yeah, Christmas is a tough, difficult time. And because it's like the end of the year and you're tired and you're thinking, you know, what have I achieved? What have I done? What has been the outcome of the year? And my birthday's in November. So it's like you're just kind of in this state of reflection. And I'm very results driven. I didn't realize it until later on, but I'm very action oriented, results driven. And when them results ain't lining up with the effort or the perceived effort, you start thinking, hey. And then Christmas is coming, and then you start looking around at your friends and just start evaluating stuff. And it gets really, really heavy. And that's not even included all the wahala and the wakbara bara that comes along with Christmas itself.
That's the way you said it.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, Christmas in itself is a stress, let alone the whole year has come to a bulk, just at one time. It gets really hard. And I researched, I found out that I think it's the seventh largest killer of men is suicide. Yeah. So it's the seventh largest killer of men. And we just need to do more for guys. Like, I love that there's so much stuff for women. I love it. Like, y'all got everything. Y'all got cheaper car insurance. Like,
yeah, we do actually. I'm not going to lie. We do have cheaper car insurance. When I first got my first car, I wanted to scream because I didn't know how much car insurance was going to be. And then when I got my car insurance, I was like, oh, this is nice.
How much was yours first? Do you remember roughly?
Yes. It was 900 and something pounds for the year. Yeah, it was nice. It was look at
mine was close to $2,000.
Pardon? What was you doing? What was you driving?
No, that was my first car.
Seriously?
Because I'm a guy. That's what I'm telling you. Because I'm a guy. I'm from South London. I started driving when I was like 20 or 19.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was paying for the whole year. It was like close to $2,000. It was like it was either 1.8 something or 1.9 something.
No, mine was like, it was 9 something. And then I think I added stuff onto it. You know, like, they make you add stuff onto it, try and buck up the price. So it was 9 something, then I added stuff on, and I didn't mind. And then it went to 1,083. It was something like that anyway. But wow. I was happy. And then 3 years later, because I haven't been driving particularly that long, 3 years later, it's gone down drastically, where I'm like, oh, this is nice. This is cool. So, and somebody else did say to me, men's insurance, but you not drive too fast and crazy.
Wait. Let me tell you something about us guys, yeah? One thing about us guys on the road, we make decisions.
What are you trying to say? Women don't make decisions? Oh, this is going to turn into a debate.
this is going to be the us people debate. No, listen. Let me tell you a little something.
Okay.
Y'all be driving and y'all want to go in the left lane, but you're not sure. So your wheels are on the line and you're kind of in the left lane, but you're not confident enough yet to indicate that you're going to go there. So you're just kind of millying in between. I need you to... Mate. No. Can you tell your sisters, please tell your sisters in Christ, I need them to make a decision. If you're going in the left lane, go.
Listen, you know what it is, right? They're aware. Sometimes they're too... Don't shake your head. Yeah, they're just aware of their surroundings, and with a man behind, like, it makes them nervous. You're making them nervous, yeah. Let them don't shake your head. Let them see. I'm sorry, I'm gonna say how I drive, okay? I should have a sign on the back of my car saying, I'm scared of how I drive, yeah. because if I'm turning, I'm turning. Just move.
Oh, good. Right. Yeah. I like that. I like the decisiveness of that. I know you're going to do, even if I don't like what you're doing, I know what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Oh, like, that's my thing. I don't like the indecisiveness, but when you just make a decision, boom, I like it. I like that. But around Christmas, it gets really heavy. And so, yeah, that's been a big part of my journey. So I've been talking a lot on different like podcasts and interviews just about my journey battling through depression, especially as a Christian as well. Like, you know, and especially as a black dude, like,
yeah.
It's only until recently that this stuff has kind of come to surface. Like when I was younger and I used to say to people, oh, I think I'm a bit depressed. Go and read your book. What are you depressed for? Go and read your book. Go and grab your Bible. So I did. I grabbed my book. That's how I got all my A's and my B's. In my family, you can't get less than a B. A B is actually, so I've never got lower than a B. I grabbed my book. Even in the sad times, I did. It didn't help. I'm sorry. You know? Yeah, and obviously the Bible can help, but when you don't know what you're looking for,
that's true.
When you don't know where to go, and it's just saying, grab your Bible. Okay, Genesis. Okay, God created the heavens and the earth. This ain't helping me feel better about my life. you just need to know where to go. So in terms of music, how music came, music is part of the savior of my life. Like God saved me through music. Like the reason why I asked my dad to buy me a computer was so I can make beats, so I can make tracks. And then I used to do this thing because I didn't have proper equipment, so I used to like kind of build makeshift microphones at home.
That's kind of cool.
I don't know, but I couldn't buy microphones. We didn't have that sort of paper like that, you know what I'm saying? So I kind of connected to this, and I'd connect to the TV, and then I'd connect something else to the microphone, then I'd sing into that, and it would record onto this and record onto that, and then I'd have a track.
Yeah,
and then I made a mixtape. And for those that can't see, I'm doing what are these called, rabbit signs,
quotations
with my fingers. Yeah, so now I actually build studios. So I've built a studio in this house, I've built a studio in all the houses that I live in. I know what I'm doing now. Now I know what I'm doing. So but yeah, music really helped, because I think it's because with music, I think this is my theory, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like with music, especially as a man, I'm not used to talking. Like I've only recently began talking about things. I'm not used to like talking. You just keep it in, you deal with it. You might cry in your own time. No one's going to see it.
Yeah, but why is that? Why is it that, okay, for women, okay, women talk a lot, yeah, but then they say men talk a lot more. But I'm trying to define if this is correct or wrong, where women talk a lot about their emotions, men hide their emotions. Is there a, how can I say, is there a pride thing, or is there a culture thing where society within different cultures has made men feel that they are not allowed to express their emotions in the eloquent way to make themselves feel better as a human being? I don't see anything wrong with it, because we all have emotions. We all go through things. We all have good times and bad times. Why is it that women can express their emotions, but men amongst men are not allowed, or even men to a man to a woman doesn't feel like he can? There's something wrong there, Jimmy. And I'm trying to find out what it is. What do you feel it is?
I don't know. If I'm honest, I'm not comfortable people, like, maybe a handful of people have ever seen me cry. Like, I don't know. I feel like the way we've been kind of, what's the word, conditioned maybe, yeah. Is like, you see a man cry, that's slipping, yo. Like, he ain't a man. He ain't strong. You know, I mean, like, crying is associated with weakness, traditionally speaking. And we men, we want to be strong, you know? And with guys, when we break down, yo, we break down, like, you know, and that's not an easy place. Being vulnerable is not easy. It takes a lot of strength to be vulnerable. So, and yeah, I think we're just not used to that. We're just not used to it yet. It has to be normalized, and it's starting to become that way, mm-hmm. but it's not something that's normalized. Like, when I'm with my guys, we don't talk about, you know, feelings and stuff. Now it's starting to change a little bit, you know. People are more open, but even me, I never used to want to talk about that. I just deal with it. Like, and it's not, I don't think it's a pride thing. For me, it wasn't a pride thing. It was just like, I'll just deal with it. Like, you just get on.
See, I don't know. I think it's strength if you cry. I think, but that's just me personally, and maybe it's just a woman's perspective of what I feel. Like, I have guys who are my friends, and if they cry, I'm like, let it out. If you don't let it out, I'll slap it out of you to let it out. And that's just because, but that's my way of showing them love, because I love them and I genuinely mean that. I care, and I told you this earlier on, I genuinely care about people. Mm. So regardless if I've met you today or I met you 10 years ago, you're going to get that same care. Mm. And that's important to me. But talk to me about, here's a question that I do like to ask. Talk to me about how you feel the next generation will come in and change the music industry for the better. Talking about racism, justice, equality, diversity. How do you feel the next generation of musicians, rappers like yourself, will change the industry so that regardless of where you're from or who you are, you will get noticed and get the same amount of respect as another artist would?
I think it's already starting to change. I mean, I'm a singer myself, but I'm seeing like how like rappers and are being perceived differently. Yeah. I'm loving that. I'm seeing that people are not afraid to express themselves fully through music. Before, it was like, oh, as an artist, you can't sing about your faith. Oh, don't sing about politics. And don't mention that you black. You know what I mean? But now, now you sing about whatever, and you're not afraid to lose fans, so to speak. Yeah. Because that was the thing, you know, you might lose fans who do not share the same political view as you or same religious view as you. I mean, Justin Bieber just dropped a Christian EP the other day, yeah. I heard, you know. Kanye did a whole album, you know, about his faith. Like, and this is stuff I've been doing for ages. And I'm just, it's great. It's warming to see, like, people higher up or further along are not afraid to express that. And so that's the same with me. And the way I express it and how I express my love, I've got my Muslim friends listen to my stuff. Like, you know, so it doesn't matter about, you just got to be authentic to you. That's true. And yeah, authenticity transcends all types of audiences. People can always pick up on authenticity. So the next generation, I think they're on a good path because they're just experiencing that creativity without limitation. Yes. You know, even though limitation breeds the space for creativity, low-key. But that's
I like that.
It I does. Like that.
That's definitely it. Hold on. So let me get into that. So talk to me about it.
Well, I mean, look, when you think about the best films, you know, people say the best films aren't always the ones with the big CGI and the big blockbusters. The best films are when they don't have the biggest budget, So yes. They have to make the storyline on point.
Yes.
So for me, when I've not had the resources, I've been at my most creative, because creativity is more than just singing. Creativity is not actually singing, dancing, rapping, acting, all of that stuff. Yeah. Those are talents. Creativity is a character trait. And creativity is being able to respond to a lack and find an answer where there's seemingly no answer.
I love that.
That's what real creativity is. So when you find musicians who are actually creative, because you can be a musician, but you might not be creative. You can sing, but you are not a creative. You are just a singer. Go and just grab your mic and shut up. But when you find people who are talented and creative, it hits you in a different way. It just hits you in a different way. So
I like that. Definitely. So I'm going to read this question.
Okay.
I've only read this question out to selected people so far.
Ooh.
It's my test question, really, to see how it flows with people. So, but the thing about this question is I'm only allowed to say it once. I cannot repeat it.
Okay.
So you ready?
No.
Right. Power, perception, culture, struggle, judgment, class, privilege, relentlessness, diversity, love, pride, authority, ego, race, bravery, adventure, honesty, passion, honor, prejudice. Talk to me about which ones you remember me just saying and which one resonates with you as a person.
Relentlessness.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know why, but now that you're saying it, I'm just actually thinking. Because you're saying all these words, I'm like, wow, where's the question? When you're saying
exactly,
it, I was
yeah.
like, where's the question? But when you said relentlessness, it just stuck out. I think that's part of my journey. So, I mean, there's times when, yeah, I did want to give up on everything, on breathing. But my relentlessness kept me going. Like the music, like, you know, I remember this one time I met with this executive, right? This was a little while ago, and things started to pop. And I was working as an events coordinator for a music company. And so I was coordinating some of their regional events, and I was like, you know, mingling with celebrities and boom, 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 like local UK celebrities. No Drake yet. And so then I said, yeah, too. and then I said, hey, you know, I'm actually a musician and I love to do music. And they're like, yeah, I can see that. You're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to be on the stage. And I was like, wow. And so then they said, send me your music. And I did. And they sat me down for a meeting. Or one of them sat me down for a meeting, and she was like this, one of these top level executives for one of these labels. But she just kind of left it because she wanted to do something more independent. And she said, you'll never make it. She said, the music's trash. Your voice is trash. She didn't say the word trash, but she said it's really awful, bad. And she said, you're not attractive. And when she said all of those, it's like when you have these insecurities in yourself.
Right. I was just going to say that.
Yeah. When you have these insecurities in yourself and then an outside voice says it, the harshness of that reality, it does something to you. Because it's like you're thinking, okay, it's just voices in my head. It's just voices in my head. It doesn't mean anything. Part of you saying that. And then someone says it, and then it's like, oh, it's not just in my head. It's a reality. It can send you down a rabbit hole. And it really got to me. And I just thought, what am I doing? And I remember being depressed for about 2 days. When I'm entering into a phase of depression, I kind of get a kebab. I know it sounds silly. I yearn Aww. For a greasy kebab and chips. So if you ever see me get a kebab and chips,
I know
sometimes
to hug
yeah, you need to call me. Mm-hmm. You need to give me a hug. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I might just have one, but that's very rare. I don't really crave a kebab and chips. Like, it's not even just any kebab and chips, yeah. Let me tell you something. It's they put extra vinegar on the chips, and then they put the meat on top, and then they put vinegar on the meat, then they add the garlic sauce, then they add the chili sauce, then a little bit of salad, not too much because no one's trying to be healthy. But then and just smother the whole thing, smothered, and it's greasy and it's fat, and I know it's not right for me, but at the moment it feels so damn good. Because everything else feels so bad. And I feel like it's like a dopamine kind of effect. You're trying to boost your mood levels. And so that's what that kind of food does. So I know when I'm craving that food, I know something's up. From a physiological perspective, I just know. Because I know my body now, like, I know that, okay, you're craving this. Okay, something's up, Jimmy. Yeah. So I did that for about 3 days. And then I wrote a song. and then I recorded a song. And as ugly as I am, and as trash as my voice is, and as whack as my songwriting is, and everything that she said, I still couldn't help but make this music. And that's me being relentless. And, yeah.
Jimmy. Can I say something? There is, when a person turns around to you and says your music's rubbish or you're not nice looking, do you know that they're really talking about themselves?
I've heard this about projection, right?
Right. So, when a person is happy with their life, they will wish you happiness, abundance, joy and positivity. When a person is unhappy with their life, they will wish you negativity all the way. Remember, what you say is a reflection of who you are and how you feel about yourself. So that day when you went in that room and she listened to your music and she said what she said, how are you so sure that that's not how she feels about herself as an individual, but she wanted to take it out on someone else vulnerable who is craving the industry and really wants to be in it passionately or wholeheartedly, and she knows that what she says to you, you will take to heart. And you won't think, oh, at the time, oh, that's what she means about herself. You will take it as, oh, she really means that about me. I'm going to feel really bad now, which you did, and it's not your fault. But half of the time, and I mean literally, when a person says something ugly to you or says a name or is very unkind to you, it's really what they mean about themselves as an individual. So always remember that.
It's true. Yeah, it's true.
Because to me, I think you're great. So.
Thank you. I mean, I am better. I am better than
I like the confidence. Afterwards, I like the confidence. Like, yeah, I'm better.
I am better. No, it forced me to be better. I had to be better. You know, you have to elevate. And anyway, just if you are relenting, oh my gosh, now that you said relentless, I'm like, wow. If you're relentless in it, you have no choice but to grow, right? Because, you know, you're still doing it. So, but yeah, thank you for that. Like, it's true. Project. I say to people can, I say to my friends, sorry, people only see, you can only see people through the lens of who you are.
Yes. Very true.
You know? So, yeah, I guess I never made that connection in terms of someone who's like, kind of like an executive.
That's it. You know what it is sometimes? It's the title and the power that you think they perceive within the industry. Half of the time, they don't really have that power. And half of the time, they only have the title to make themselves feel important because they have insecurities themselves. Yeah. So anytime, a title doesn't mean anything to me. I learned at a younger age that titles don't mean anything, because today you can have a title. Today you can be a millionaire. Tomorrow, the person that you are putting down can turn around and be the millionaire and can turn around and have the title, and they can be more humble and more kind and give people more opportunities than you ever could imagine. But are you going to make yourself now better than the other person? Or are you still going to think, now that you've lost your title because of how you were towards somebody else,
yeah,
are you going to still think that you're better than the person? Oh, I was there before you. No, 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 no. And my granny always said to me, God takes away your talent and gives it to somebody else if you don't use it in the right way.
Yeah.
So that's something that I always carry with me. And that's what keeps me humble. And that's what keeps me pushing people. Just because I'm not good at something, it doesn't mean that you can't be great at it. Do you understand? And you might teach me something. Same way you're teaching people now by being on the podcast. So that's just how I see it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, it does. It does. And it just, yeah, I never thought of it like that. You're right. I just associated the title with, you know, knowing everything and
yeah,
like that. It's true. It's true.
It's a power thing. It's literally a power thing. Yeah. My next one for you, Jimmy, is...
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm looking behind. There's a gallery going behind you. Why is there a man with no shirt and six pack floating behind you?
You know what? You're the second person in the whole of my podcast to start talking about what's behind me. So... guys, I'm going to explain now, Jumi, because you're going to have to make me
explain. I put you on blast, huh? Savvy rocks.
So, Jumi and there's another guest. I think it's is it Danny Dawkes, right? You both managed to spot the man in the pants. So, let me explain before you give me a bad title here. Yeah? When I'm speaking to guests, if you ever happen to be a guest on the Us People podcast, behind me you'll see the logo there for a certain amount of time. Then after the logo goes, my screensaver will come on. And then you'll see all my photography scrolling through. So every picture that goes past you is all the photos that I've done in events for people, for whoever it might be, celebrities, whoever it might be.
Okay.
But there's a particular picture that people seem to notice more than any other picture. Yeah. And it's a man that's literally naked in pants.
Naked.
Well, not almost. He's wearing pants. Yeah. Trunks. They don't even look like trunks. If he bends over, they won't be trunks, honey.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So so I had to be around him for 4 days. So basically, it was a bodybuilding event. And I was there with the most elite professional bodybuilders. And it was definitely an experience. And all these guys were getting changed in front of me and stuff like that. And I had to take pictures of them getting ready and going out on stage. So that is what Jumi is seeing. Jumi is seeing the guy when he's posing for the judges or when he's getting ready to pose for the judges. And that's one of the pictures that I got. It's in black and white. I think I might have to pull it out now on my Instagram or wherever it is, just so you guys can see exactly what it is, because everyone, it's the second time now. I'm going to count now how many times it is. Yeah. Where there's wedding pictures, there's music pictures, but everybody...
There's a baby. There's a baby. Really cute baby. There's I didn't a get a chance to say it because you were in the middle of something, but I saw the really cute baby. And the Asian wedding, there was like an Asian, they were wearing like teal or turquoise.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's
I did it. Notice. Yeah, yeah, I noticed others, but we were in the middle. And then when you broke, that's when the six pack went by. And I was like, that's my six pack. That's
well,
the one I want.
It.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
I'm
the
boring
one you
it.
Want. This like, it's like rocks. It's like, I'm like, whoa. But the funny thing is these guys don't have any fat in their bodies, which is not good for them as well. As much as they look mean and trim, it's crazy. It was a crazy event and it was definitely an experience. It's not about me, Jimmy. It's about you, okay?
It's about us. Oh
okay. Podcast. I like that.
Us People Podcast. It's about us.
I might have to take that from you and pull it on the podcast.
Come on. Use it.
I like it. So... my next question is actually relating to you actually singing in a way and a song. If you had a chance to choose one song in history, right, that you wish you wrote as a songwriter, because songwriters are so important in the world. Sometimes people underestimate how powerful and how unique songwriters have to pull out their emotions and put it down on paper. The reason why I know is because I used to be one myself. But
I hate you saying used to be.
I know you hate that, right? I said that to him earlier, and he's like, "Don't say used to be." Okay, because I am a songwriter. Mm-hmm. There you go. He corrected me. I like it. Mm-hmm. If there was one song in the history of the billions of songs out there, he's shaking his head, going, "I can't answer that, Savia. That's ridiculous." What song would you choose that you would say, "I wish I wrote that song, and I wish it had Jumi on the end of the credits"?
Wrote it for myself. Okay, so there's a lot of songs which are amazing, and there's also songs which work for you, and that's also really important as well, because I'm a songwriter too, and one of my friends, because I'm also really inspired by like Art Neville, Lonnie Donegan, Nancy Sinatra, like I like Elvis too, Little Richard. Like, I love that whole period. Gene Vincent and the Outlaws. I like that period of like, kind of rock and roll. I love that period. They're some of my influence. Not my biggest influences, but some of mine. And so I wrote this song, which, like, Cinderella can go outside. Boom, boom, boom. Da-da-da, but you wanna try. Da-da-da, gotta die like a criminal. Da-da-da, but she wants to go. But it's too bad if you don't go out tonight. But, and I wrote it and recorded it, and it was proper like swing with dubstep, all this stuff. And my friend said to me, I remember my friend Jai, hey Jai, brr. My friend Jai said to me, "Jumi, you're an amazing songwriter, but not every song you write is for you. This is an amazing song, but it's not for you." And I was like,
there's nothing wrong with that, Jumi, though.
There's nothing wrong with that. He was right.
Imagine you give it to somebody else, another artist, and they completely blow it up.
Yeah. My dream for that song in particular, and I've got like about 5-6 songs in that vein, because I literally had like I was on a roll. I was gonna be the next rock and roll team, like old school rock and roll. And I was like, you know, Olly Murs, if someone like Olly Murs or Bruno Mars got this,
yeah,
do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I get you.
That's for them. So in terms of a song that's great songwriting, and for me, that I could have done something with, I mean, there's quite a few. What comes to mind, there's quite a few. There's about 3 songs that come to mind. Don't Laugh.
Go on, honey. Go on.
And these songs I heard recently, I was like, oh my gosh, the songwriting's amazing in this. One is Sierra, Body Party.
Yes, I know that one.
My body is your body. And like that one, like, it's so simple, but it's so well written and the production. Ah, if I could have that, just give that to me. Like, wow, that was really well done. And Sierra did an amazing job with that. Another one is my first wife, Aaliyah. She was everything to me. As a kid, I had 3 wives, right? I always say, if I meet Khalees, do you know the singer Khalees from back in the day?
Yeah.
If I meet Khalees, I have a story for her. So in a nutshell, real quick, I don't want to digress too much. So I had 3 wives. I had Aaliyah was my first wife, Left Eye was my second wife, and then Khalees was my third wife.
That's a good range, actually.
Thank you. But then, so Aaliyah passed away, and it was like, oh my gosh. And then Left Eye passed away.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh. So I was like, God, what's happening? So I started praying for Khalees. I fasted for her. I prayed and I fasted for her safety. People were going to church fasting for their houses, for their loved ones. Me, I was there fasting for Khalees. I had her on my prayer chart on my wall. I was like, God, you're going to protect her. The spirit of calamity will not come upon Khalees. She's going to be protected. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Think about it. Like, 2 of my wives just got taken down. I was like, no. Not this third one. So if I ever see Khalees, I'm going to be like, hey, babe, I prayed and I fasted for you. I gave up food like, for you. Man.
Oh, wow. That's a good one, actually. So We got down to, so what was your, what is your main song? You never gave me one. You gave me three so far.
Okay, so so the first one was Sierra Body Party. Then the second one would be Aaliyah, One in a Million.
Yep.
That's a good classic. One. Yeah.
Good one. That is a good one.
You know, we've got very different voices and ways of singing, but I think the movement element in both of us would kind of make it work for me. And also Timbaland as well. Timbaland's like my dad, he just don't know it. He's my dad, he just don't know it. And then the third one, don't laugh. This one is actually really funny. My third one is Britney Spears' Slave for You.
You know what? I'm not even going to lie. That's a wicked song.
My gosh. The songwriting on that. The way they
structured it. That was Pharrell, right? It was Pharrell as well. He done that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The way they structured that song. I mean, I don't know if I could have pulled off. It would be very different if I did it. I won't be doing some of those things. But in terms of the songwriting and the way that it just merged with the beat, and just the structure, like, you don't find a song structure like that no more. Ah!
That's true. That is so true.
Yeah.
I like that. That's pretty cool, actually. Those are three cool songs, actually. I know it's hard to just pick one particular song. Yeah. But when you have... You picked three good songs. I'm going to put them in my playlist, the Us People playlist, okay? So those three songs are going to go in the Us People playlist season two.
And now that I'm thinking about it, the unifying or the common denominator between all those songs is the movement element to it as well.
Yes. Yes, most definitely. I like that. That was a good question. That was a good answer to my question.
Great question. I've never been asked that before.
Cool. What is the best advice you have ever been given by somebody? And how has it impacted your life?
Okay, so I was told one thing I was told. I've been told many things. One thing I was told is in a good way, so in a good way, so it's not all violence.
I didn't say violence.
You are not your results.
That's true.
When so I've got a life coach, and what got me onto working with this life coach was he was at a seminar that I was at, and he was speaking, and he said, the first thing he said, I want everyone to get your pen and paper, and I want you to write this down and say, I am not my results. And when I wrote that down, I started having a breakdown, because it was such a liberation. You know, I'm not what my circumstances dictate.
Exactly.
I'm not what my circumstances dictate, and my value isn't attached in what I have achieved or what my bank account looks like. My value is in me being here, you know, and being me. So, that's probably one of the most life-changing things I've.
What would you do differently if nobody was judging you? So if we took out the word judgment, because people are constantly getting judged every single day just by how you look, what you do, how you sing, just like you said to me before. What would you do differently if nobody was judging you?
I'd be doing the same thing I'm doing now. Just it'd be on a higher scale. I would have probably gotten there earlier. So I'd actually be doing everything I'm doing now. I would have just gotten there quicker.
I like that.
Yeah. I really feel like where I am now, finally, is where I'm supposed to be. Yeah. But I had to go through this journey. So there was a point where I was like, Jimmy, you've wasted so much of your life. And that became a source of anxiety as well, because then I was like, you know what I mean? You can look back and be like, oh, I wish I did things differently. And then you can also look back and be like, oh, yo, you wasted all this time. But actually, I read somewhere, failure is the condiment to success.
Exactly.
You know, and had I not gone through what I've been going through, I'd just be singing and be like, hey guys, I've got a new song, listen to me. But there's actually more. I've actually got something to say. I've got something to share. Like, it's not, the music is great, but like when I come and I'm talking to people like you, amazing people like you, I'm not just talking about, oh, my latest song. Oh yeah, the beat's hard. Yeah, you'll love it. I'm talking about life, y'all. Like, yeah, you know, I'm talking about life because I lived it. Like, so I'm glad I went through that journey. And I have to keep telling myself this. Yeah, I have to keep reminding myself. If not, I'm going to be mad at myself.
Well, not if I can help it. I'll come and find you. Just jump in the car with the cat on top and then just drive to you. Oh, your hair is wrong. Oh, man. So, Jimmy, we're almost at the end of a beautiful interview, but there are a few more that I want to ask you. So what advice would you give to a musician, a singer, a rapper, anybody within the music industry from your point of view and only from your point of view about being persistent, about being positive, not letting, even if they feel like they haven't got the support that they need or they want in their life, what would you tell them to keep them going and keep striving to be the best that they can be?
I would say just start. Start now. Start today. Start afraid. Start imperfect. Start unplanned. Start abruptly. Start unexpectedly. Start even when they've told you not to. Start without apology. Start without money. Start without a team. Start without finance. Start without validation. Start without people believing in you. Start without vocal lessons. Start without dance training. Start without musical industry knowledge. Just start.
You know what? I think that's the best advice I've heard for someone to give someone. Just start. Basically, in a nutshell, just start. I love that.
Because you can only grow. You know, the laws of the natural world, if you sow a seed, give it water and sunshine, it will grow. So if you just start, you will grow. You will get better. And all of those things that you started without will be added on.
That's true, you know. Yeah. That's true. I find out when you start something and you just persistent with it, you have a passion and a love for it. Oh my gosh, the love is the most important thing. Love is more important than anything for what you do. People, life, and whatever talent and creativity, because now Jumi and myself has defined the two, more Jumi than me, but we have defined the two. And I thank Jumi for that. It's a beautiful thing, definitely. Jumi, what would you like your legacy to be when you decide that you feel you have conquered what you want to achieve in your life as a being in this world? How would you like people to remember Jumi?
Oof, that is a question. I definitely want to inspire other Christian creatives and musicians. Reason being is, especially in like Christian circles, people are so afraid of being creative, because if it's something different, it's like, whoa, what's this? Is this Christian? Is this gospel? Like my new song, Falsetto, right?
Yeah.
Like when you hear it, it doesn't sound like...
Hold on. Should we play a bit?
Yeah. Why not?
We're going to play it through the microphone, guys. Yeah. Right? We're going to play it through the microphone. See, so I'm going to put it in the background of the interview. So I realize now that I'm going to put it in the back of the interview. So when we're having our interview, in the background of the interview, you'll be able to hear the whole of the song.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Thank you, Savia. Come on, thinking of me. I mean, but the reason why I'm in love with this tune right now is because it's so different to what you hear in Christian circles.
Yes.
You don't hear Christian songs like this. Like, people be hearing like, what? I've heard people be like, what? What song is this? Are you sure it's from God? I'm like, eh? As in, and then they'll look at me, they'll be like, you got blue hair. Like, are you saved? Are you a Christian? I'm like, my hairstyle doesn't determine my faith.
Yeah.
You know, how I look doesn't determine my faith, you know.
That's true.
And then I don't look Nigerian on top of that. So then, and it's just, I baffle some people. Yo, I baffle some people. Like when I had a dance group, Christian dance group, and we used to like perform in lots of places. And then I'd walk in. I didn't have blue hair at the time, though. But my hair was, like, longer because I cut it recently. I wanted it a bit shorter. And they'd be looking at me. They'd be confused. They'd be like, you're here to do the Christian dance? I'm like, yeah. Okay, you're a Christian? Yeah. Okay. Oh, wow. I used to get that a lot, like, oh. And know when the head turns and you hear the kick in the neck? Because they're not sure. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh, you're a Christian singer. Oh, okay, you are. Oh, okay. Are you wearing a silver chain? Like, I'm just baffling people. So I want part of my legacy to be to create a liberation, being a Christian singer. Because it took me a while. I wasn't always singing gospel music. I was working, I almost got a publishing deal, which I checked out of. And this deal, they wanted to make me the Trey Songz of the UK. And I was like, in my head, I was like, that's not my vibe. Like, Trey Songz is like, he's like that guy that walks in slow motion. I'm like, do you know what I mean? He walks in slow motion. Everyone, all the girls are like, me, I'll trip over. Like, I'll trip over, I'll laugh about it. Like, I'm just a bit more goofy, like. So then, so I tried it, and I started working with these songwriters, and these, not many producers, but more songwriters, and there's all these songs, and I'm like, I'm singing about this lifestyle I'm not living. You know, and they're like, yeah, but you've got to sing about sexy stuff. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not doing sexy stuff. That's not how I'm living. And it just, if I was doing that, then it'd feel authentic. But it didn't feel authentic to me because that's not how I was living. So I made a decision. I said, look, I'm leaving that. Thank goodness I didn't sign anything. I just gave it a try first. And I said, look, I'm just going to sing Christian music. That's what I'm passionate about. And everyone that heard my music before and hears it now, they all say, Christian and non-Christian friends, they say, yo, this is the most creative you've ever been musically.
See?
And that's because I'm being authentic to what's really I'm passionate about. You know, I'm not to say that I can't sing about love and all that I do, but like God is my thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that's my God's my heartbeat. Like,
yeah.
You know, writing about Him ain't a thing for me. Like, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's where I am really now, and I can't wait to liberate. I want my legacy to be that, you know, all these other interesting Christian artists came on the top, we come in the charts. Another thing I want to do is I want to set up Christian charts in each country. Like,
that'd be cool.
Where's the Christian chart in the UK? Huh? Where are you? Your official chat? Huh? A whole chat you are missing. No, I'm going to set one up in the UK, I'm going to set one up in Switzerland, I'm going to set one up in Canada, in Australia, in Niger, in the whole of the Caribbean, like everything. There's going to be a Christian official chart everywhere. Like, another thing another thing I want to do is I want to just want to help for no reason. Like, because people don't do that these days. You don't really find that, like, there's always an agenda. Like sometimes when people want to help you, there's an agenda behind it. Really. And I love that agenda. It's hard to, because sometimes you do feel like you're being taken for a monk. You can do for them. That's true. It's hard, yo. And I can feel it in you. You're very similar as well. Like, I think that's why we connected so quickly as well. Your spirit is a very giving spirit. You guys that are listening to this Us People podcast, if you don't know your girl by now, let me tell you something about your girl, right? She is a giver, a natural giver, naturally. You don't even think about it. And some people do take advantage of that, and they will.
Yeah,
they will. And I, when I think of that, because I used to get really angry at one point. I was like, "Yo, who are these people taking me for? Like, do you not like? Even though I give, don't let me give you something else. Don't let me give you these hands, y'all." But then I thought, like, Jesus knew about Judas. Jesus knew about Judas from day one. Jesus knew Judas was going to backstab him, but Judas was
he still helped him. Yeah,
that says something. So, like, we will make mistakes. People will take advantage of us. It's okay. We'll bounce back.
Which we do. Yeah. Which we definitely do. And that's something that we learn along the way. As much as it hurts us. Mm-hmm. And you see your face is like, yeah. If you guys can see Jimmy's face, like, hell yeah. So my final one for you, Jimmy, before I have to let you go. And I've loved this. It just felt authentic and easy to have a conversation with you. Is where can we find you on all your social media platforms? And if anybody, look, he's getting ready. And if anybody would like to get in contact with you, how can they get in contact with you?
Okay. So I'm a cow, yeah? Let me just moo right now. Moo. When it comes to social media, I'm a cow because I need breaks. And sometimes I'm a ghost on social media. I can't lie. But I have a team who help me with that. So no matter what, they will tell me if you reach out to me on Instagram. Instagram's probably the best. But someone will tell me, say, hey, Jimmy, someone's in your DMs and they're asking you. So Jimmy, J-U-M-3-E. You can just anywhere on Spotify, on YouTube, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, any of those, you can just go. Also, my company, umdinternational.com. And, I've got a jumi.com. Oh, I forgot. How could I forget? I'm sorry. I told you I'm a cow. Jumi.com. J-U-M-3-E.com. J-U-M-3-E. And the reason why I spell my name J-U-M-3-E is because the 3-E reminds me of my purpose, and I wrote that down. My purpose is to encourage, entertain people to embrace their self-identity.
So, I like that.
Yeah, so there's 3-E, so that's why I spelled my name, J-U-M-3-E. So, yeah, that's everywhere, guys. You can find me. And also, if you can't find me, just go for your girl, Savia Rocks. Like, just be checking out her ting. And then, like, if you need to get hold of me, just holler at her. Make sure you sign up to everything she's doing. Jeez.
See, I like that. Jimmy, I want to thank you so much for coming on the Us People podcast. You've been such an easy guest to talk to today. I've loved everything about it.
Thank you so much. You're a great interviewer. Let me tell you one last thing before I go real quick. My first interview was horrible. I remember years ago, I did an interview. I started releasing music, and then I had an interview. I had to drive down to Croydon. They told me to come at 7:30. But then they changed the time. They asked me to come at 7 o'clock. But then by that time, my schedule was already done. So I had to still leave house at 6:45. And I drove down from Kennington to Croydon, but I got back down at 7:25. Then they said, you're late. I was like, oh, I'm not because the original time was 7:30, and they said, yeah, but we asked you to come at 7. And so they didn't talk to me. So I sat there. They were setting up the studio, boom, 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 boom. Everyone just ignored me. And then they pressed air. Then they're like, oh my gosh, we're so excited to have the amazing Jimmy here. And I was so confused. I was like, I was quiet. If you ever find that interview, I don't want to hot them up, but if you ever find that interview, you're here. And at the beginning, I'm like, I was quiet because they're saying they're so excited to have me, but you've had me for 25 minutes. You say no. So I just started learning, yeah, people on the radio are not that they're not genuine, but it's a performance. But with you, it's not a performance. This is just who you are and how you are. And speaking to you earlier on in the day, you're still the same. Then you're still the same now, and I really appreciate your honesty, your transparency, and your authenticity.
Thank you. I feel like you've given me the outro for the podcast, Jomi. So I'm going to say the outro now, because every time somebody gives me a comment, I get really shy. So this is me. This is me saying again, Jomi, thank you so much. And guys, thank you so much for listening to the Us People podcast. And please remember, you can subscribe and leave us a review on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and any other platform that you prefer listening to. Please also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can also donate or sponsor the Us People podcast by simply going to the Savvy Rocks website or just typing in paypal.me/Us People Podcast. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Stay happy, stay positive, and as always, please continue to be kind to one another.
Give her your money. Give her your money. Give her your paper. Give her your bank card. Go and find Savia. Give it to her. What's wrong with you? Now you get extra donation. Give her your donation.
You know what? I'm going to put that at the end of the podcast.
Give her.
Oh man, that was too funny. I'm actually going to put that at the end of the podcast. I'm going to say my outro and leave the rest of
Give it to her. Come on. You're too nice. You're too kind. I just give her.